Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
We think we're busy. And then we get to talk with Republican for Governor Bobby Charles. Thanks for the precious time on the PDQ Door telephone line. You've been everywhere, man, but it's good to have you back on our program, sir. A five-debate challenge. I don't know who said we always had to do three. I guess it's just become that way. You suggest five as we decide who's going to guide our state for the next bunch of years. What are you talking about, sir?
You know, Rick, I think probably one of my benefits and liabilities is I think out of the box all the time, and my attitude is that Mainers are smart. Mainers deserve real, in-depth, long-form debates of the Lincoln-Douglas style. Five is a good number. We got probably 25 big issues, but if you can compress them into five significant debates and then allow a town hall-type format, it allows the voters... Look, Mainers don't need a 60-second game show. That does not inform them on life and death issues that I think are defining and... unfortunately, redefining our state. So what I proposed was five debates in the locations where things are particularly bad and need to be discussed openly by the population. So the questions come from the people. They're not these pre-canned, I'll remember an answer to this little 60-second question, and then people don't want that. They want strength in, they want to understand a clash of steel on steel. They want to understand, what do you really think in one or two or three follow-up questions on key issues? So I propose one Lincoln-Douglas-style debate. Of course, Lincoln-Douglas, if you go back and look at history, was a little more in-depth than we probably even need. Those were three-hour debates, and you had 15,000 people there. But let's go small version Lincoln-Douglas. Let's get long-form answers, not canned answers. Let's let the people do the questioning. And basically, I'm saying let's do one in Bangor on crime and drugs and public safety, because that's a leading issue there. Let's do the one in Lewiston on sanctuary state status and how that's redefining the state, and not in a good way, illegal immigration and how that's affecting us on everything from costs to public safety. Number three in Augusta, let's do one on the budget and on energy. And, you know, I'm sure Jim LaBrecque will be in the audience, but let's get a real deep dive in this budget. By the way, this budget itself could be debated for, a dozen hours and still not get to the bottom of it. It's really a disaster. They peel off, of course, the funding for a lot of these bills when they pass them. They literally strip them of their fiscal note. And the budget is 800 pages long, and that's when you are just talking about titles of programs. It's a disaster. So one in Augusta, the fourth one, say, in Portland, with housing being a centerpiece and property taxes, both residential and commercial, and understanding what all of these hundreds of mandates that have been pushed down by Pingree and joined by Bennett are just doing. They're destroying the ability of average towns to maintain themselves. The property taxes are just wiping people out, and it's not just in one county. I was at an event yesterday down in Old Orchard Beach, and I was up in the county literally just a week ago, and it's the same issue everywhere. The Democrats have driven these unbelievable unfunded mandates down onto the towns in particular, and they can't take it. And then one up to the north, at least one, if not two, but one up in the north, maybe in the county or in Washington County, on growth and energy policies and taxes and why things are just going south up there. There's no ceiling. There's no ability to, basically, there's no ability to focus on getting growth up there. So, you know, there's 100 issues, honestly, but I want to see, what I want to see is accountability in the debates. And that, you know, Pingree and, you can just watch the Democrat debates and you see the opposite of what I want to see. I want to see in-depth, long-form answers with myself, Pingree and Bennett, addressing them in depth. And I love these little glib answers that I get back from the challenge. One is, yeah, we'll do debates, you know, but basically preformed, you know, we'll do what the network's going to give us, the 60-second answer deal, and we're just going to memorize our little debate book. I don't want that. I want the people asking the things that hurt them the most or concern them the most directly to our face. The way, well, you know, some of the more recent really good debates have been done that way. You had McCain out there doing that at one point in his cycle. And Mainers just deserve it. They're smart people. They can get more than 60 seconds. And the comebacks that I've heard, well, oh, we can't do them live. Do them live. do them live. You know, if you pick your nose or you fall off the stage, it's all part of the program. Okay. Okay. And you know what? And more than that, make it real for the people, because the one thing that people are angry about above and beyond issues is the fakeness, the plasticness of the way that politics is presented. I say make it authentic and real and live, and put it in front of people, and make it long-form answers with follow-ups so that people get a real dialogue, a real conversation on that stage with the people.
Bobby Charles, Republican for governor. How do we get the TV stations to go along with it? Or do we need TV stations in this day when you can FaceTime?
You know, I mean, obviously, we've streamed, even in the Republican primary, we streamed everything on the internet. But look, I will tell you, behind the scenes, the television stations will be there. When I debated Troy Jackson, and as some people say, left him in a puddle, this new nominee for their Senate post, I think people know this is real. And when they know it's real, there's going to be action. And when there's action, the television cameras will be there.
Mm. I love the idea of the geographical spread. I love the topics in each town. How do we make sure that the Democrat Party doesn't get all the seats, come in, and heckle you and silence you?
Well, listen, everything is an educational moment. And if there was heckling and it was basically trying to drown out a substantive answer to a serious question, you know, it's educational by itself. So I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but somebody recently in an environment where they were being heckled said, you know, this is democracy at work. I think people should mind their manners. Of course, there aren't a lot of manners these days, but I think at the end of the day, a public exposure where you vet people a little bit, so we're not talking about, say, people throwing things at the stage, and we have a certain degree of control over the environment, it is nevertheless the most healthy environment, because it doesn't look pre-canned and canned and preset. And I guess, look, I've done tons of debates in my lifetime, and I have no problem with any debate in any format. But I'm going to tell you what the people want right now, and I'd be interested to see whether your listeners call in and say so, is in-depth answers to why are my energy costs control. And when, you know, Hannah Pingree comes back and says, well, we're doing better and we're going to do a committee and we've, you know, solar's great. And no, let's do a follow-up, and let's do a follow-up to the follow-up. And then on housing, you know, and they say, well, you know, she put out something the other day. She's going to put $100,000 into public housing. Stop. Okay. You busted the budget by $6.44 billion. People don't want a little more public housing that can be overrun by drug traffickers and nobody has access to anyway. And by the way, when you built public housing the last time and it was supposed to go to veterans, you gave it to illegal aliens in Brunswick. So that's not the answer to the question. The answer is an in-depth dialogue about what are you going to do about the fact that the property taxes have been driven so high, the regulations are so high, you have 2 feet of insulation you have to put into everything so that by the time somebody's trying to buy a house, they can't afford it. What are you going to do about property taxes? What are you going to do about income taxes that are driving the tax base out? Let's go down 3 or 4 levels of depth on that. What are you going to do about the fact that we've got the needles everywhere in the streets, and she's the one in March of 2020 with Mills that started to just give them away at millions a year, $4 million a year? Where's the responsibility for that? And by the way, I know you don't have any of those needles and homeless encampments out on North Haven, and that's a beautiful little island. You know, it's wonderful. You know, they don't, and I know you don't, you know, but at the end of the day, there's got to be in-depth answers to these questions. Let's go to real treatment addiction, because you've cut them off. We're living in a state with 150,000 addicted Mainers. 10% of those over 12 are addicted, and you've got only 300 residential beds, and you've had 8 years to fix the freaking problem. Where are you? You're just not here. You're AWOL. Drug traffickers, illegal aliens, filling up the infrastructure, taking down Main Care. How about the fact that we've got fraud everywhere, and there's no integrity in the government? The only way you're going to get, look, it's taken me more than 60 seconds just to be able to identify the top 9 or 10 problems. We need significant, long-form public discussions, a conversation of the Lincoln Douglas style, so that average Mainers can say, you know what? I think party over here, A, understands the issue. I think party B over here is memorized her, you know, her cue cards and basically doesn't have a follow-up answer once she says $100,000 for public housing. So what's the whole point of a debate? The point of a debate is to inform a voter. And the only way you inform a voter is when you have more than a soundbite. And so that, I mean, I love the soundbites on this station, but and we're informing voters. But at the end of the day, a long-form debate is the only way you address a serious crisis. When you go in to have your knee replaced, which I've never had, but when that happens, or if you go in to talk to a doctor or a dentist, they spend a little bit of time, and you have questions, and you try to get answers back. When you have any serious, you're going to go buy a house, okay? You have serious questions. You have a long-form discussion. We're about to decide the future of all of our lives in this state. It deserves a long-form discussion.
Bobby Charles, Republican for governor. Let me shift and ask you a question about fundraising. And I also want to share with you, even as I ask the question, an observation. A lot of claims about how Pingree has raised a lot of money headed into the campaign. I haven't seen how much money that you've raised so far. All I know is that when you were in the primary, you were outraised, I had heard, 70-70 to 1. Last time I presented that stat to you, you downplayed it. Paul, I'm going to ask you for backup on this. I think Bobby said at the time it was maybe 50-1. I'm not sure what it was. I don't know what it was. But the point is, you know how to stretch. You know how to stretch a buck. But for anyone that's looking at the fundraising numbers and thinking, "Oh, Bobby's in trouble," I want you to reply to them.
Yeah, no, we're exactly where we want to be, although I don't want to downplay the very important aspect of every dollar counts. I got a $5 money order from up in the northern part of the state recently, and I will tell you, everybody and anybody who can go to bobbyformaine.com, you can give $5, $10, $20, you can give up to $2,000. And so the short version is we're on track for what we should be doing. I mean, in one recent day, I raised $50,000 or $52,000 in a day. It is a function of getting people engaged. I will tell you two or three data points that are extremely valuable. The first is exactly what you said. We won in a field of 8 in the primary, and we're all pretty unified right now. I think we know what we have to do to win this. But we won by 20 points, and we were outspent on our ads by 70-1. Overall, we were outspent probably, I want to say, 20-1. And what that means is that, you know, I still wear some of the sweatshirts I wore when I was a teenager, okay? You do stretch a dollar. You make it work, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you make it work, and maybe that's a Yankee trait, but that's what you do. You make every dollar count, and every dollar that everyone gives to me, I guarantee you it counts. The second is we sort of use an asymmetric warfare model. We are very, very targeted in how we discuss things with people. I'll be spending a lot of time in the southern part of the state. I am bringing around Democrats, and I am bringing around independents on a many, many a day basis. I talked with a big group yesterday. Third, the outside groups play as big a role as the inside groups, but let me give you a big contrast. 95%, I'm gonna just pulling this from a recent verbal discussion, so I don't have the data in front of me directly, but of the money that we've raised since the primary, roughly 95% has come from the state of Maine. Of the money that Pingree has raised on her name and on her mother's name and on her mother's money side and all that jazz, their majority is from out of state. Okay, so there's a very, very big difference. You've got a Maine candidate who's raising money in small dollar figures from Mainers. And by the way, when you raise money, you have a conversation with people. It's at least that's the way I do it. I think life is a combination of relationships. It's not just checkboxes and keep moving. And maybe that's what would make me a different governor. My attitude is my door will effectively always be open. And Mainers who have big problems, you need to put them on my desk and tell me that's a problem. And Bobby, you're now responsible for that. So, and finally on the money side, you know, we're doing fine. I mean, we're doing better than what an average raiser would be doing. But what we're really trying to do is make that money count every day. So I am, you know, whatever Pingree has raised, you know, they've got the Democrat machine working for her and for Jackson. And it's a machine. You know, they're pushing the progressive agenda, and the progressives are pushing massive amounts of money into this. I've sworn off any Augusta lobbyists, but I'm sure they have bucket loads of Augusta lobbyist money. And by the way, when that money gets given, every time it's given, it's buying a favor. I don't want to sell favors. I don't want to work for the lobbyists. I don't want to work for the people who expect from me a return on something that's going to be very specific. I want to work for the Maine people, and that is where we're going in this campaign. God bless those who are supporting us. Keep supporting. We're going to win.
BobbyForMaine.com. BobbyForMaine.com.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.